What's up, guys? I'm Nobody Special, and we have a special guest with us today. We are going to talk all about the job market and some of the silly narratives that are pervasive in the press these days. We've got Amanda Goodall is with us, a.k.a. The Job Chick on Twitter. She's also the author of Insider Edge Report on Substack. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us today, and welcome to the channel.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is great. I will talk about the labor market all day long. You know that.
Well, we're just going to wind you up and let you go then. We've got a couple of things we want to hit on, a couple of topics I wanted to ask you about. But first, you have a pretty unique background, I found. And maybe you could just explain to people a little bit about what you do and some of the work you do in the private sector and why that offers you such a unique insight into the labor market.
Absolutely. You know, I've been the job chick for the last 20 years, really dealing with the talent side originally, especially with like director and executives on up. So I heard all the stories behind the scenes, and that made me go, what is going on? So these days, I really focus on looking at the workforce intelligence data, which is really going in company to company and actually seeing how they're hiring, what they're hiring, who they're exiting, more importantly, and trying to make sense of it all. So I work with corporates, I work with smaller companies as well, and investors, legal teams, to just kind of get that full picture and try to like make sense of what's coming in the future. I'm big on predicting layoffs, as you guys know. So I love it. And what I can say is that the narratives that companies give out, it's never the story. Never the story.
Well, let's attack one of those narratives then right away. It's one that is near and dear to me. And by near and dear, it makes me grind my teeth when I hear it every time. The AI bubble, and well, I shouldn't say the bubble, this narrative that AI is displacing jobs in the workforce. We've even got Jerome Powell is saying AI is giving white collar workers the boot. Is that fact or fiction based on what you see on the ground?
It's fiction. I mean, overall, yes, there are some areas of AI that are populating, especially like call center. A lot of companies are trying to, you know, bring in that voice chat and things like that. Yes, so there is some AI, but overall, AI as an excuse for layoffs is an utter lie. It basically all ties into what the workforce and how companies are hiring and who they're bringing in and what the past hiring was to be able to even build in that AI structure. And everything that I'm seeing does not point to that. And I'm talking, you're dealing with Mag7, you're dealing with smaller companies, name me a company, I'll pull them up and I'll tell you what they aren't doing. And it's not AI. So it is a beautiful excuse for layoffs these days. I don't buy it. And, you know, especially when you see the bigger companies that are like, oh, we're laying off 5,000, 9,000 due to AI. Absolutely not. And I try to post as much as I can on it because it doesn't make sense to anybody on the ground. Anybody that's a job seeker, anybody that got laid off, you're just like, I'm in the company. You know, I know what you guys are doing. And their AI is not there. It is not there yet. Will it get there? Maybe. But that excuse today, it doesn't fly with me.
So that lines up with what I've seen. And I've always, my bias is, you know, I wear it on my sleeve. I've always been highly critical of AI. But, you know, I see studies like the MIT study that said 95% of AI pilots not generating a return on investment. So then how are they going ahead and firing people to replace it with this thing that they just told us isn't generating a return? That doesn't match here. So let me ask you, I'm not going to like hold your feet to the fire here. If it's not AI, but they're telling us it's AI, why are they letting these people go? What are they actually, why are they actually doing it?
Oh, I have the answer for that. And it's offshoring. That is what companies are doing right now. We saw this massive drop off about late 2022, early 2023, when, yes, we had the overhiring after the pandemic. And that is to be seen. You can see on any chart for any company. But late 2022, it just nosedived completely. When that happened, there were a lot of layoffs. They blamed overhiring at that stage, and they're still blaming things. I mean, you almost have like this, you know, blame game per year. You know, we had overhiring last year, we had restructuring. This year, it's been AI. I don't know what next year is going to be. I should do a poll on that one and try to figure it out. But it is straight up offshoring. The amount of offshoring and outsourcing that is happening right now is beyond. And this is why, you know, I will go toe to toe with economists that are just like, oh no, you know, we have less address tech layoffs? Yes, we do. I agree with that. So yes, while we're looking at these numbers and they look horrible, it is less than it has been in the past. But the situation we have right now is that companies are not hiring here in the US. They're not hiring in Europe as well. I mean, there's a lot of areas that are getting hit hard, and that is because companies are outsourcing and offshoring all of the jobs. So yes, you can't have layoffs. The layoffs can't increase if they're not hiring. So we are going to keep seeing that happening. But man, they get under my skin a little bit when they're just like, oh, it's not so bad. I'm like, look at the data. You know, you have to really jump in and see what the flow is. And right now the flow is outside of the US. That's the name of the game. And, you know, it's all about margins and shareholders. That's what it is.
So sounds like another version of the Mechanical Turk, where, you know, it's supposedly this machine that does all this smart things, but in practice, no, it's just people in the white collar equivalent of sweatshop labor in low wage countries that are displacing workers here. Now, yeah, you had a pretty, absolutely. Sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, it was, yes, you are completely right on that. That is exactly what we're seeing. And what we are seeing, I will add, you know, in some countries like India, for instance, they are seeing layoffs themselves, you know, due to AI. We just saw, you know, Tata Consulting lay off, 12,000 and potentially up to 30,000 due to AI. Now, all of the workforce that has been, you know, outsourced and offshored to India, yeah, a lot of that was initially the call centers. You know, we know the frustration we deal with when we're calling our internet bills and things like that. You know, but that is the situation. And so now even some other countries are having that. So that's where we are seeing the AI. But overall for US, you know, white collar, yeah. Yeah.
And I suspect those call center people, a lot of them are going to end up hired back, because every chatbot I have interacted with in any kind of tech support or help role has been worthless. Absolutely worthless.
Right there with you.
So you had an interesting post on Insider Edge Report this morning. It was entitled Occam's Razor and Michael J. Burry, MD. And we were kind of talking offline. I was out of my seat cheering when I saw Michael Burry come out with his critical AI tweets recently. You had a pretty interesting take on Dr. Burry's recent post here. You're looking for the labor signs of this depreciation symptom, depreciation problem that Dr. Burry was talking about. You're pointing out here that Palantir's headcount had previously risen 12 to 14%, NVIDIA's had risen 10 to 12%, that these were mostly engineering roles, and that was over the summer. But then you say they hit the brakes going into the fall. I'm going to read a quote from this article here, and then I'm going to turn you loose on this one. He said, this is what cooling looks like once you step out of the hype. Net new external requisitions down hard, engineering heavy mix, even as the whole shebang tightens. If you're looking for where a depreciation story leaks into labor reality, this just might be it. So you're seeing a slowing in the engineering hires at Palantir and NVIDIA after they were ramping up earlier this year. So how do you get from that to Dr. Burry's depreciation thesis? Without giving away the whole article, could you maybe tease it a little bit?
Yeah, no, you know, this is, I love this. You know, this is the stuff that I look at behind the scenes. Whenever companies come out with their earnings or their memos or whatever they're starting to say, I'm just like, let's look at this. So same thing. And I think a lot of people that follow me know my thoughts on NVIDIA. It's the same as you, you know, and I think Palantir fits into that. And I think you've got this whole AI bubble. I am going to call it that. You can call it whatever. There's something fishy going on. It does not make sense. So, you know, I do look behind the scenes, and you really can figure out what is happening when you look at the workforce and the shifts in the workforce and how companies are hiring. So when they're like, oh, we're pushing all of this. I mean, I believe that, you know, let me get the actual quote up here. Like, you know, I think, you know, some of the companies were just like, oh no, you know, we're bringing in thousands of engineers. You know, we're, you know, have insatiable hiring going on and things like that. And I'm just like, no, absolutely not. When you look at this, yes, they did hire. It was not a great amount overall. When you look at the scheme of things, of course, they have a lot of engineers on staff. And you don't necessarily need a lot, especially with their AI capabilities, you know, which is better than Chat and Claude and things like that that we have to use. But, you know, overall, you would still see certain pushes in engineering, IT, and I go down into role level. You know, that's the really interesting part. I look granular at all of this. It's not just like taking, you know, the engineering or the IT roles as a whole. I'm like, what types of engineers are they hiring? What types of IT people, what types of ops people are they looking at? So when you look at all of this and you see both of these companies going, oh, we're hiring thousands. Oh, we're doing this. Their headcount's not changing. So I don't know who they think they're hiring. It's not here in the US, but I also have whole level data. I can look at a global picture. So they're not necessarily offshoring or outsourcing, because I would be able to see that in the data I have. So, you know, tying this into what Michael Burry said, you know, and everybody, you know, just jumping all over his shorts for NVIDIA and Palantir and all of that, you know, I was just like, no, you know, I know my thoughts on NVIDIA. Let's go dive into Palantir a little bit. And when I started looking at them and I started putting them side by side, and that was actually one of my favorite charts. And, you know, when you look at the chart, yes, you have this nice hiring nosedives about end of August, just completely nosedives. They're not hiring. And that chart's on my Substack. You know, and I've had a lot of interest on that one this morning. I should be actually making that free here later today, because I want more people to see this, because this is such a hot topic. This is a cultural topic. I mean, you know, you've got Michael Burry, love him or hate him, he's still part of our culture and our history on everything that went on back, you know, in 2008. So I think this is an interesting thing to look at. And this also just proves the point that companies' narratives, whatever they want to say, is not necessarily the truth, because if they can't achieve X, if they're not hiring Y. And that's what we always have to look at. So, you know, going into the depreciation model, you know, the same thing, this whole, like, you know, the partnerships that we're seeing between NVIDIA and OpenAI and Oracle and you name it, it just, none of that makes sense. And again, this is the same situation we're seeing with all the companies, you know, outside of the box, and this is outside of the Burry thing, but the whole AI data center construct overall does not match what is going on in the workforce. And, you know, you have to look at the life cycle of a data center. And Jensen said, you know, there's going to be hundreds of thousands of jobs created. Well, that's like electricians and plumbers. I'm not really seeing where you're getting hundreds of thousands anyway, unless you're taking over the entire world and building data centers, which may be their point. But, you know, overall, you know, we're just not seeing that. And the life cycle of a data center, especially as AI is developing so rapidly. I mean, you look at their chips, NVIDIA's alone. They can't ship out chips faster than they can produce the next two in line, right? You know, they have delays. They have, oh yeah, we had this one and now we're going to be just pushing this one forward instead. What is that going to look like for data centers? You know, so this life cycle, this depreciation, yeah, I do believe I've dealt with enough in tech, enough engineers. And, you know, everybody says, no, these have like 18 months, 2 years. So I think his, you know, 2 to 4 years was actually pretty generous overall. The data centers, yes. Are they going to be big? Probably. Are they going to last forever? I can't see that happening. There's too much that people are fighting against with all of this. That's speculation. That's just my opinion. That's to be said. I'm going to focus on the data right now. And just to say, do I think Burry's right on this one? Yeah, I do, because the workforce is not there. I'll jump off my soapbox.
Okay, so the workforce level data supports Dr. Burry's thesis, at least in that they are no longer hiring to meet this insatiable demand that they're claiming. Now, I couldn't help but notice you say there that the hiring at these two firms dropped off in August, at the end of August. And as you were talking, I was trying to think, what happened at the end of August? That was right around the time we had Oracle. That's when the round-tripping scheme really hit its most obscene, with the Oracle remaining performance obligations and then NVIDIA taking their stake in OpenAI so OpenAI can rent from Oracle so Oracle can buy from NVIDIA. That all happened. Really, it hit its fever pitch around the end of August. We've also had some recent stories about some recently completed data centers in Santa Clara, California, and several in Oregon, where they're done, they're built, but they can't get power. The utilities won't even talk to them about hooking up because there's no power on the grid. So I think that probably all started around that time frame. Are you aware of any other story or any anecdote along those lines that might explain why August did we see that sudden drop off? Was it just a seasonal thing that you would see anyway, or is there some other factor we can't see?
No, it's not seasonal. I like your obscene word. I think that's a really great one for this whole debacle that's going on. No, this is not seasonal. This is not typical of these companies. I mean, NVIDIA, they're known for not laying off. The attrition levels are crazy. They still have exits, discharges for whatever reason. You know, they're not all going to be layoffs. They're going to be pips. They're going to be buyouts. They're going to be just general exits. It still happens. But overall, this is not a seasonal situation. And even if it was a typical seasonal for these types of companies, when they're ramping up and hiring thousands, you wouldn't see a drop off. And the drop off is insane. It is actually, you just look at the chart. And I shared something with the Mag 7. Just to give a whole picture of all of the big tech going on right now. And yeah, I mean, you just watch how it's all changing. And yeah, late 2022, you just watched it just plummet. And now it's just really low level hiring. So, you know, yes, it's still a lot, but you know, it has changed forever. And there's no going back. We aren't seeing that picture of it coming back at all. I think really right now, the only industries that I'm seeing that seasonal still stay true is retail and finance. And finance is just, they're hard and fast in what they do. They don't make big changes. They're not, you know, they're not changing their scope every 2 seconds like big tech is. And retail is just going along with the consumer right now. And even that is a little bit slowing up for this season. So, big tech should not have seasonal slow offs when they're ramping AI and data centers, period. It just doesn't work like that.
So I want to put a pin in retail because I want to come back to that. That's an important topic. And I didn't even think to have that my interview prep, but thank you for that one. Real quick, one more question about that drop off that you saw at the end of August with NVIDIA and Palantir. Was that a drop off in headcount, as in they were reducing staff, or was that just a drop off in hiring that they were slowing staff growth?
It was mainly slowing staff growth. They stay pretty static in most big tech, honestly, unless they have a really big layoff. And even that, it doesn't make a big difference. But typically, you do see a 1-1 hiring and exit level. That is pretty typical for the last several years. This was not before the pandemic. So when you go back to 2018 and older, that was not necessarily the situation. They were hiring and there were less exits. They always had really big hires. Right now we do see that 1-1 very close. And you'll have certain orgs within the company that will hire more. Like all of a sudden there'll be like a burst of engineering, or there'll be a burst of operations, or there'll be a burst of HR. And when you see a burst of HR, you know layoffs are coming in 5 to 6 months. Like it's almost perfectly timed with that. And you know, so you have to look at the burst, and you also have to look at the burst in exits overall. You know, when companies are saying, oh yeah, we're going to be offering all these new things and we're restructuring, and they just laid off a heck of a big chunk of engineering, you know they are pivoting overall. So you have to look at that and go, are they making a bet on what they're doing? Who are they associated with? Who's funding this? Who's associated? Is this part of that, you know, big bubble circle that's going on with partnerships right now? And kind of look at who's going with who, you know. So when I do look at it from an investment side, I only trade on workforce. I only look at the workforce. I am not a financial person. I'm not a Wall Street expert like that. But I'll tell you right now, the returns are pretty great by looking at the workforce. Because if you don't have the teams in place to do what you're saying you're going to do, it's not going to work. And you're not going to see that same stock push as you normally would. So, or come down, same thing. So, you know, when I'm looking at all of it, you have to really focus on the teams, the exits, who they're letting go, who they're hiring, what types. And again, this isn't just straight engineering, operations, business management. It's not just straight looking at those, you know, main folders, if you will. It is going into the exact roles of who they're hiring. And right now I can say that most big tech are getting rid of generalists and they are hiring specialists. And that is something we're starting to see. It's not being hidden too much by some of the companies. I know XAI just did it, but this is a new push. And this is what I'm watching right now. And you know, I'm kind of seeing this as like a call and restructure scenario that is happening, especially in tech, that they are getting rid of generalists. It's not because they're bad at performance. It's just because things are changing or the company is pivoting so hard. They are bringing in specialist engineers. So, you know, this is the new thing. And I do think this is going to, you know, just totally, change how hiring is going to look over the next several months, at least through the first half of 2026, you know, with regards to how companies are ramping up. And with that change, I do expect less and less roles because generalists are just not needed these days. So yeah, everybody needs to pony up on their AI skills really quickly.
So that pivot from generalist to specialist, does that imply anything like, or are they settling into more of like trying to run a Lean Six Sigma, or are they going to be doing more R&D and that's why they would bring in a specialist versus a generalist? Does that tell you anything about the direction the company's going in?
It's really funny. I see a lot less R&D going on. And it's interesting because NVIDIA is all like, oh, most of our workforce is R&D. And I would say that is true the last several years, but probably the last 24 months, I'm not seeing that. I am seeing that push for building, but it's also slowing down at this moment right now. But you know, overall, I mean, the specialists moving forward, I don't think this is just a lean thing. Companies are focused on being leaner because they are just chasing that margin and they are chasing that stock price. It just doesn't even match. I mean, what the markets are doing does not match the workforce at all. So again, it's narrative, it's spin overall. Really great if you're investing in one of those companies, you know, and just know what's going on behind the scenes. That would be my recommendation. But, you know, overall, it is a case that these specialist roles are going to be pivoted in probably 6 to 12 months as well, because things are changing so rapidly. You know, so I think, you know, you're lucky if you get in now as a specialist, but you have to be changing your skills and really looking at what these companies need and be ready to jump always, because companies are not going back to what we were, which was hire a lot, build a lot. They're just like, we need this, just go make it. Okay, now we don't need you. And that is what we are going to keep seeing. And so, you know, a lot of my advice for, you know, job seekers is, you know, think about your job, especially in tech, think about your job as a contract almost. You know, yes, they're bringing you on maybe as full time, but when that project's done, are you the specialist that can take them into the next level? Do you know what that next level is? So, you know, always be looking for what your skills can go jump into, even if it's changing companies, be ahead of the game. And then you're not going to be one of the ones that get laid off, you know, on a Friday evening after taking an assessment like XAI just did and, you know, and having to look for a job. You know, always be looking for one and seeing what other companies are utilizing your skills as a specialist. That is going to be the name of the game pretty much across the board for everybody in tech, just from here on out.
So as rough as the job market is, even if you are lucky enough to find a job, it sounds like don't get comfy the second you get complacent, you're out of there.
Yep, absolutely.
So you touched on retail before, and that's important. We're heading into the Christmas season here, and everything I've seen has said, well, let's just be blunt, Christmas is going to suck. Everything I've seen. I got a Craig Fuller from FreightWaves is a fantastic analyst. He does a lot of logistics data, and he says the cargo's just not moving. The trucks are going slow. We've got consumer confidence lower than I've ever seen it. And then you're talking about retail earlier and how retail jobs may follow the consumer. So what are you seeing there, and what does that tell us about the state of the economy?
Yeah, Craig's info is really great. And I think his logistics info scares me a little bit more than mine sometimes. you watch these knock-on effects and, you know, it's interesting. But, you know, overall with retail, yes, we have a very weak consumer right now. Regardless of what anybody is saying, we are seeing a cutback in spending. I also, advise a credit company. So I am looking behind the scenes at the consumer as well. And it's not great. It's not great. And even if they have job and even if they have that current, you know, forward moving income, the level of debt is just beyond right now. And it's one of those levels that are really hard to get out of. But, you know, that aside and really kind of dealing with the workforce, number one, we have Walmart, who is not going to be hiring for the next like 5 years as they're changing and restructuring. So yes, they're still going to be hiring, but there's not going to be mass pushes anymore. They've already announced that. Target slowing back on their retail seasonal hiring. Amazon, yes, they're still saying 250,000 or 200,000. I don't know what the actual number is with this right now, but they're still saying they're hiring. I'm not seeing it greatly, but a lot of that is outsourced a little bit to other companies. Gosh, even like DoorDash, I think, gets involved with all of that delivery. There's a lot of programs that are starting to get built out on all of that, you know, so that one's a little bit harder to track. But, you know, overall, looking at the big companies, looking at when you look at the malls like Simon or you look at Nordstrom or anything like that, I don't see that hiring push. There is not that typical seasonal hiring push. And, you know, for some companies, it's not so bad because they staff pretty hard year round, especially in the bigger cities, you know, like New York City or LA, things like that. But overall, it is not there. The only thing that I am seeing is basically security upping, which is a worrying sign, I think, you know, just as a commentary to society with all of this. But I am seeing security ramp up, especially in around the mall areas and things like that. And overall, I'd say the only thing I am seeing is staffing increase for restaurants, which I guess is a good thing. For the consumers to be going out, the hospitality and restaurant sectors have been struggling, even down to coffees. You know, they have been struggling a little bit. But you know, I think the season push is still going to be there. It's still that warm fuzzies that you want. So even if the consumer isn't spending a lot on gifts and you know, the times of the season, they're still going to be eating out, which I guess overall for that industry is really good.
Okay, so the restaurant thing is encouraging, especially we had some pretty dreadful results from Chipotle last week that showed especially young consumers cutting back on eating out. So the fact that they're staffing up may be an encouraging sign. I can't help but yikes to hear about seasonal surge in hiring for security. Mm-hmm. That's just dreadful. I'm sorry. I'm not getting good vibes from that.
When wow. I saw that, I was like, no, I'm not seeing this, but you know, kind of looking at it company by company, and this is where you really have to go that mall level. And yeah, it's increased. And you know, for that's for the ones, I mean, they outsource a lot of their stuff. So this is just internal, you know, and I'm not going by security company, you know, through it all. But just to see that alone was just, it was a little bit weird. It was a little bit weird just to see that. And yeah, again, slightly worrying.
All right. That was a great trip through retail. Thank you for that. I want to talk about another article that I saw on the Insider Edge report. You're talking about, I think we probably touched on this a little bit, but there was one quote in Amazon and the largest corporate job displacement in history. And again, it's, you do a very good job of here's what they're saying and here's what they're doing. You say Amazon, the company that outwardly tells a story of scale, its internal data tells a story of substitution. And that's, again, pretty alarming language there. And you touched on Amazon and their seasonal hiring. So when you talk about what's the story of scale that they're telling, and then what is the substitution that their actions are telling us?
Yeah, you know, I mean, this one was particularly off of their, you know, their 600,000 job replacements due to robots. Right. And they did the worrying part for this. And I cannot stress this enough, how Americans really need to be sitting up and thinking about this. They actually said the 600,000 would replace U.S. workers. OK, we already have a really difficult labor market. And, you know, when you see a company just saying that off the cuff after their layoffs this summer, it's like mind blowing that, you know, there's not PR standing there going, no, 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 don't say that. You know, here's the thing. 2 years ago, they had 750,000 robots. They've ramped that up to 1 million earlier this year. I think it was March, maybe, that they kind of announced that. And now they're talking about 600,000 more replacing U.S. workers by 2033. And I think the number that they threw out was about 160,000 by 2027. By 2027. So these are jobs. Yes, nobody likes working in a warehouse. I get that. I can't imagine that job. But, you know, this is still displacement of workers. Where are they going to go? And, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, the blue collar workers in the situation that we are facing these days and everything kind of getting automated, in an industrial way, because that is happening. It is slowing down on that side. But overall, we have to look at this is just one company displacing this many workers, outright saying they're displacing this many workers, you know, and then you add on the companies that actually are adding AI or are talking about their outsourcing and offshoring, or the companies that are saying what they're going to be focusing on moving forward. Walmart, not hiring, not doing big hires for the next 5 years as we build in AI and restructuring. This is just a few companies that have started talking about this. There are hundreds and thousands behind the scenes that are already doing this. This is why, as a job seeker, it is impossible to find a job right now because companies are already focusing on this. So they're not gonna hire in big and just go, oh, okay, then we'll do a mass call later. No, they're already cutting back. They're already dealing with this. So with Amazon, my worry is that, you know, and this is something we see all the time. Once one company announces something big like that, other companies will keep falling in line. Well, that fear overall, it, you know, affects the job seeker. It affects somebody that is working. You know, you're now worried, am I going to be next? And there's so many people that tell me they're worried about waking up to an email to say, hey, you have a business meeting at 9. You know, this is the reality of what we're dealing with right now. And, you know, when you have companies like this that are slowing down the hiring and slowing down that job growth opportunities, where does this take us in the next 5 years? You know, if all of these companies, if all the tech companies and, you know, they're doing their White House dinners or whatnot, you know, if they're all getting together and getting ready to create UBI, then let us know, be transparent. Like this is, you know, this is a level of stress people don't need on top of everything else that's going on in the economy. And so, you know, I'm just looking at it and you do see that drop off when you're dealing with Amazon specifically, just to get back to them. You know, this substitution, yes, it is a great substitution because companies are focusing on scaling margin. They're not focused on scaling teams anymore. And so we are seeing this in everything that they are pushing. So yes, so from the AI standpoint, yes, is Amazon focusing on their robots? Absolutely they are. You know, that's not the typical AI you think about, but it's still that physical AI that is going on. So yes, it still happens, but as a great level, it is just an excuse. But how many more companies are going to start, you know, integrating this? I know what Accenture's working on for big companies as well. You know, I got to go in and talk to them at CES earlier this year. And so to see the robots and see what's going on, this is going to start changing. So we are going to see this move into more and more warehouses and, you know, the industrial sector over the next couple of years. This displacement that we're dealing with jobs, is only going to increase. And that is my worry. So this is what I am tracking. And when you see Amazon totally drop off, just like all the rest of the companies, this is across the board. And I pick on Amazon a lot. I don't hate them. And I think that what they do is incredible overall, but, you know, hire people. That's what we're here for, right? You know, but, you know, the drop off is insane and it has not increased at all. So we are not going to see that push again for human workers and I'm just worried of how that's going to play out because it always is a knock-on effect to a lot of other industries, not just the one company or big tech or e-com or whatever. It is going to push out across the board.
So we've got the narrative of AI displacing jobs. We pretty much debunked that. The narrative of robots displacing jobs sounds like that's a little more factual, right? Maybe it's not Elon's Optimus and his silly little PR stunts, but it is, say, the robot arm on a wheeled chassis at the Amazon warehouse that absolutely is displacing human labor. So we've got some truth there. Another interesting topic you've been pretty vocal about is the H-1B visas, in particular, like earlier in October, when the story came out about the $100,000 fee for an H-1B visa as a way to protect American jobs. And you were pretty critical of that on Twitter and X, whatever you want to call it. In particular, you were talking about how it wasn't really going to protect American jobs. And you drew some attention to the F-1 student visas in particular. Could you talk a little bit about why you think the $100,000 fee for an H-1B visa, it's not going to fix anything?
It's peanuts. It's peanuts to these large companies. 100,000 is nothing. And, you know, overall, I mean, we've already had, you know, NVIDIA and a couple other companies just go, yeah, we're going to keep paying that. You know, we want people to come over here and experience the American dream. I mean, Jensen has been extremely vocal on that, which I just sit there with my popcorn ball going, oh my gosh, what is happening? You know, but we do have, you know, companies like Walmart saying they're going to put a pause on it right now. I think they're just trying to figure out what they're doing with everything. And I think that's also a part of their, you know, we're not really hiring a lot. So I think it kind of works for them from a PR angle right now. But, you know, overall, $100,000 fee is nothing. In the scheme of things, you're basically paying a one-time fee for a worker that is going to stay. They're going to be loyal. They're going to stay into that job. So, you know, that stops the extra training and the extra recruiting and things like that. And people have no idea how much that actually costs. It is actually crazy numbers. When you're dealing with, you know, just this constant levels of recruiting, which also just boggles my mind on why companies hire the way they do these days. Story for another day. But you know, the H-1Bs, you know, when you take it and you look at it, you know, I think, you know, I had recently, just before that happened, pulled up like the top 11 offenders. Now, Amazon was three of them under their different AWS programs, which is crazy. But you know, looking at what they're doing and how much they make, this is a drop in the ocean. This is not going to stop them. And if they do go, okay, I don't want to pay the $100,000, you know what this does? This pushes them offshore more. This pushes them to outsource more. So, you know, for everybody cheering it on, and the initial reaction was just like, finally, something's happening. Even if it's small, something's happening. And I'm like, no, this is still a distraction. This is a distraction of what companies are doing. If this was not, and companies were just like, yep, no, we need to hire Americans, or we need to build in America or whatever, we would already be seeing that push. We are not seeing that push in jobs. We're not seeing those job postings like that. So this is not going to change anything in the scheme of things. And this is also not law. I want everybody to remember that. This is a presidential proclamation. This is like a suggestion. You know, that's what it is. It's not a law that is going. And also in the 100,000, you know, H-1B fee, you know, they can also talk, you know, to the government and go, well, I think this person's actually needed. Can we negotiate the fee or waive it? Okay, that's all in the documents. That's all in the government documents that came out. So it's, like I said, it's a guidance. It's a suggestion. It's not a hard and fast rule. And, you know, don't tell me for a second companies are not just like, let's put this together and make it a thing. So it looks like, you know, again, this is optics. We're dealing with optics overall. And, you know, I could go down a billion and one rabbit holes and conspiracies on why I'm not seeing this. But at the end of the day, nothing is changing in the workforce. So when that starts changing, I'll change my tune. But right now, nothing is changing. And you would already start seeing an increase in certain areas, especially in like the business management, in operations, HR, and probably in finance, in those areas in the company to start going, okay, we're changing how we're going to hire. We're going to bring more people back to the US. We're going to start building in the US or building warehousing. And none of that exists in the companies that I look at. So 100,000, charge it all day long. It's not going to change a thing with what goes on with this. Yes, I'm sure, you know, it's going to hurt some smaller companies that might use it. But, you know, the big argument that I heard with this is like, oh, this is going to hurt all of the startups. I'm sorry, I'm not seeing startups, and I mentor startups. There are not startups that are paying all of these giant visa fees to get a person when they can actually hire somebody that's already here. It's just not happening. Yes, maybe some in, you know, Silicon Valley are still doing that, but it's not the overall scheme of things. Startups are trying to just figure out how to pay themselves, you know, and survive, you know, with their small runways that they have. So, you know, overall, this is not a big push for American jobs. This is actually worries me that this is actually going to be a push to move more outside of the U.S.
Wow. So a couple of things that sounded awfully familiar there. It's just optics. So much of politics is really just nothing more than a dog and pony show. Hurts small companies. Almost everything coming out of Washington these days hurts small companies to the benefits of the big ones. And, you know, another thing that I found pretty interesting is that F1 student visas were omitted from this $100,000 fee. And it turns out when the rubber meets the road, about 70% of H-1B visas are rollovers from F-1 visas, student visas becoming permanent workers. And so the first thing they did was exempt 70% of the population that they were supposedly going to charge this $100,000 fee. I mean, it's just like the shutdowns in the earlier part of this decade. The big guys line up for their exemptions. They get them. The little guys pay the price for it. And it just makes things worse for the little guy every time. It's amazing.
Every time. Every time. You're spot on.
Amanda, where can we follow your work? We talked a little bit. I follow you on Twitter. Your Twitter feed is amazing, by the way. I'm going to put a link to that down below. Fantastic job data there. And the labor market is so important, the economy. But where else can people see your work?
Yeah. Right on X at the Job Chick. But you can go to InsiderEdgeReport.com, and that's my Substack. And that gets all the details and the juiciness of what I post on X. You know, the behind the scenes. And I try to really focus it for, you know, people that are looking for their industry, whether they're job seekers or not, just want to know. I bring in some investment side of it. And I also just, you know, give you the hard, cold truth of what's actually happening, you know, and just kind of expose where I can, because don't believe the narratives. Just don't. It's all an optics game for all the companies. I know it's depressing, and a lot of people call me doom and gloom, but I'm like, I'd rather have the facts to know what's going on, because it's going to help you figure out, you know, what to do, whether it's for looking for a job or for your investment portfolio. You know what's going on and actually learn the details about the workforce, because the workforce dictates everything that happens in the economy. People don't have jobs, they're not spending. You know, it's this complete spiral. So we really have to focus on that. But I appreciate you having me here. This has been fantastic.
Fantastic information, Amanda. Highly recommend InsiderEdgeReport.com. And don't sweat that Doomer label. I wear it here, an invisible ink on my arm as well. The one thing I found about the Doomers is more often than not, they're the ones who actually pay attention and the ones who actually do question the narratives and look at the data. And they inevitably arrive at doom. Maybe that's for a reason, that the people who are actually paying attention all tend to arrive at the same conclusion. So thank you very much, Amanda, for that. I appreciate that very much. Folks, check out Amanda's Twitter feed. That is The Job Chick on X and the InsiderEdgeReport.com, her Substack. Fantastic information there. Thanks again, Amanda.
Thank you.
Everybody else, till next time, live small and dream big.